Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so day one of the Malik Rozier era started today. I've got to get some authority on this from Matt Porter, because Matt, admittedly, I do a four-hour show every day. I pronounce this young man's name three different times during every show just to cover all of my bases. But now that he's my starting quarterback, I need to know the proper way to say Malik's last name. How is it he likes it to be said?
It's Rozier.
Rozier.
Like closure, which is exactly what we got in this Miami quarterback battle this week.
Oh, man. So why have the last 3 years, why have so many people gotten this wrong? I think he should have set the record straight earlier.
I don't know. I mean, I've been among them. I've said Rozier a bunch, but that's just how it looks to me. I mean, maybe it's because, I don't know, I spoke a little French growing up. I don't know. It looks to me like Rozier, but he has said that it's Malik Rozier. So Rozier it is. The Malik Rozier era has begun.
Yeah, now that he's the starting quarterback, I will say his name however he prefers it. And, okay, so what's the feedback so far? 24-plus hours since he was officially named starting quarterback. What's the reaction been like from teammates and coaches today?
Pretty standard. I mean, everything you'd expect, right? Like, teammates were very happy for him because he's a guy that's been in the program with them for several years. I mean, he was in the 2014, you know, class. So, you know, if he didn't redshirt, he'd be a senior this year. He's a redshirt junior. So he's been around. He's, you know, been a backup to Brad Kaya. He's waited his turn, and he was proved to be the steadiest hand in the four-man quarterback race when camp opened. And here he is now the starter. Taking over for Brad Kaya, who's a very good friend of his. He was saying that Kaya, sent him some text messages and, you know, was very happy for him. He mentioned that old Canes like Gino Toretta and even Edgerrin James, sent him text messages, said, you know, to keep your head on straight, and, you know, we'll talk to you soon and that kind of thing. So David Njoku was sending some nice words as well. And also Malik Rozier was telling us today, we talked to him for the first time this week, you know, since the decision came down. Rozier was telling us that, you know, he was very, very pleased to see that Evan Sheriffs was the first person to congratulate him, and saw that Nicozy Perry gave him a shout out on Instagram, you know, saying like, you know, I always believed in my big bro, you know, that kind of thing. So it's been all love from all corners for Malik Rozier, and I think he's just ready to get this thing started.
You know, and about this process that led to him becoming the starting quarterback, what do you think are the biggest things he's improved upon in his game, whether it be over the last couple of years or even since spring, right? Because in the spring, it didn't sound like he or Sheriffs did all that well. But what has Rozier really improved upon since that time?
I think in the spring, you know, I think a lot of that was really just kind of the coaches and players realizing that Brad Kaya is not around anymore and that they're probably going to take a step back. I mean, if we're being truthful, they're probably going to take a step back in the quarterback spot as it relates to throwing accuracy, as it relates to, you know, leadership under pressure. I mean, Brad Kaya took some shots for 3 years. And, you know, Brad Kaya, for all of his faults, you know, he certainly was not a mobile guy. I think every, you know, quarterback, aside from, I guess, maybe Evan Sheriffs can run a little bit better than Brad Kaya, but, you know, with Rozier, you're getting a big upgrade there in the speed department, in the mobility department, with, obviously, if Nicozy Perry won the race, you know, that's a huge upgrade. Though Perry, you know, quite clearly isn't ready yet. I think the coaches weren't super high on what Rozier was doing in the spring, and that kind of went for all the quarterbacks, but, you know, he's been pretty steady from all the feedback we've gotten from coaches and players and what little snippets we've been able to see of practice. Obviously, the scrimmage stats back that up. Had a pretty high completion percentage, around 64%. Pretty high quarterback rating, through 5 touchdowns to 1 pick. Again, these are controlled scrimmages. These are scrimmages where Rozier and Evan Sheriffs were or Rozier, excuse me, I keep slipping.
I'm gonna keep slipping probably until November, until I get that right
exactly.
consistently.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, number 12, Rozier. But you know, those guys, he and Sheriffs were going against the twos a lot. You know, the second string defense, which had some holes in it, and the young cats were going against the number one defense most of the time. So you know, take the stats for what they are. But I think overall, the body of work, Rick was pretty satisfied with. Rozier's stability. You know, he kind of came to work every day. He was clearly the most veteran of the guys. And I think the one thing you really need to see in games is his accuracy, his throwing accuracy. You know, he needs to be able to fit the ball into tight windows. And, you know, Mark Walton, for one, who's the junior running back with obviously a lot at stake here, you know, needs a good quarterback, you know, to have a successful season himself, you know, to kind of take some of the pressure off. And he was pretty positive about Malik Rozier. He was saying that he's a guy that has improved a lot in his ability to throw. So definitely interesting, you know, see if Rozier can make the right play under pressure. That's the one thing that kind of we haven't seen from him.
Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. And Matt, in getting a chance to speak to Rozier today, has it set in for him yet that he's now the quarterback of a storied program, quarterback you? Do you think he's really come to realize what that means yet?
Yeah, he recognizes it. I think, you know, there's always when this kind of stuff happens, you know, really this goes for all life events, right? When something happens, you know, you can intellectually realize it. You know, you can realize it and know it, but you kind of feel it as something different. And Rozier understands the history. I mean, he understands that he's taking over for a pretty good quarterback, you know, in Brad Kaya, who he's very complimentary of when we asked him about this stuff. You know, I kind of asked him, you know, has it sunk in that, you know, you're taking over for Kaya, but also for, you know, there's a long line of quarterbacks. I didn't name them all, but, you know, we're talking about, you know, guys like Ken Dorsey. We're talking about going back, you know, Erickson, Walsh, Toretta, Testaverde, Kosar, Kelly, and just these awesome names that built this program. You know, it's something that is known nationally and even worldwide as quarterback U. That was the rep for the U. You know, in the early days in the 80s, and they've always been known as that. He is in that lineage now, whether, you know, he knows it now or not. He said that, you know, he's been kind of focusing on practice, and he's got class now to worry about. He's trying to stay very present, as you would kind of expect. But, you know, he said he hadn't even really talked to his mom yet. This, you know, decision came down yesterday, and we were talking to him, you know, this morning after practice. So he said today he's, you know, got a little bit of time off. He probably will, you know, sit and maybe reflect a little bit, you know, after, especially when he's got a crying mom on the phone. I'm sure, you know, that'll help cement things and just kind of what he's accomplished here. You know, obviously that's all well and good, but, you know, the reality is going to come soon. And even the form of Bethune-Cookman will be a little bit of a reality check for Rozier because, you know, he's got that game, got to perform well there. Obviously it's an FCS opponent, but 2 weeks later he's at Florida State, so that's going to be the biggest reality check of all. I don't think he's going to have too much time here to sit and reflect, but I think that's okay because, you know, I, the sense I get, he's pretty eager to get going.
So with Rozier the starter, Evan Sheriff's the backup, do you think Nikosi Perry will be able to redshirt this year? Is that a possibility?
Really good question. I've tried to hit that, you know, in my reporting from a few different angles. You know, Mark Richt early in his career, he had a couple quarterback system going. He had, you know, a guy who was more of a dual threat guy, and DJ Shockley at Georgia was a young underclassman as a freshman, you know, when he's a redshirt freshman, excuse me, in 2002. And he had David Green as a starter, who was more of a traditional dropback passer who Rick inherited when he took over that Georgia coaching job. They won the SEC with that system, and then by, you know, the time Shockley was an upperclassman, they won the SEC again when he was the guy. So he's done it before, you know, he's rolled a couple quarterbacks, you know, in games before. He did it with Matthew Stafford when Stafford was an underclassman. He had two other guys who, you know, were kind of okay, you know, maybe if you want to make the comparison, you know, maybe they're a little bit more like Rozier and Sheriffs, and, Perry was, you know, a little bit more like, you know, Stafford as far as the talent level goes. I don't know if, know exactly how high Nikosi Perry's ceiling is at this point, but we do know he's probably the most talented quarterback in the roster. So Rick has negotiated these things before, and, you know, I asked him, you know, when we talked to him yesterday when he was announcing the starting decision, you know, do you want to play two? He said he doesn't want to switch, you know, a guy plays a couple series and then another guy plays a couple series, but he's open to the possibility of playing multiple quarterbacks. I asked offense coordinator Thomas Brown today, who was on the teams, the Georgia teams with DJ Shockley, you know, about 10 years ago, was a Georgia running back, now Miami's OC and running backs coach. You know, do you guys, how do you approach this? You know, do you think Rick, you know, wants to play a couple quarterbacks? And he kind of was a little bit, you know, maybe stiffer in his answers. I think he didn't want to speak for Rick. But I'm left with the impression that they would play multiple quarterbacks if Rozier is struggling. And I think, you know, Rick has said as much, too. I mean, he said that, you know, he's not going to let a guy die on the vine is something that he said over the summer. He doesn't want a guy to just, you know, go down with the ship. He's gonna yank his captains, I guess, to change his captains, to extend the analogy there. So I think if Rozier struggles, he's out of there. But I don't think Rick wants to play, you know, quarterback carousel the whole season. So I think if Rozier, I think bottom line is this, you know, Rozier's average. If he's better than average, then the job is probably his for the season and Perry redshirts. But I think if Perry keeps impressing in practices, if he shows an ability to get the offense, if he really kind of is, you know, lighting up Greentree, then I don't see how Rick doesn't make that decision, you know, because if Rozier is just kind of getting you by and Perry could maybe win you games, you know, by a couple touchdowns, if he's that good, if he really comes along, then I think it's a no-brainer. But we're going to have to see how that plays out.
Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post with us here on WQAM. And Matt, I guess now that the quarterback job is settled, what do we look at next offensively? Do we worry about the depth at running back, tight end, offensive line? What do you think the next concern is?
Yeah, I think those are all concerns. I really, running back depth to me is a major concern. You want to make sure Mark Walton's healthy, and right now he's got the bruised hip. You know, he says he's fine. He's coming off of that. We spoke to him yesterday, and you know, but he's still any kind of, you know, injury there would be a major concern because Travis Homer had his fumbling issues in the past, had a pretty good scrimmage last week from what we were told, but you know, he's still a concern. He still hasn't done it yet. And then Treyon Gray hasn't shown, you know, that much comparatively, and Robert Burns was cleared for contact, we learned today. He's been cleared this week, which is obviously a good sign. The freshman, you know, who looks the part but hasn't been able to stay on the field going back to his sophomore year of high school. So he's a question mark. Not a lot of depth there. And then a tight end, we've heard some good things about Michael Irvin, the second there, you know, sophomore tight end who's, you know, been kind of needs to bring it every day. He's been kind of in that category. And, you know, behind Chris Herndon, you need some depth there too. So Miami's got a lot of receivers, which makes me think that the offense is going to be okay. I was watching those guys, you know, up close today in practice. They just happened to be where we were stationed, you know, for the media viewing period. And there's just so much talent there. It's an upgrade, massive upgrade, I'd say, from, you know, some of the receiving cores that Miami's had in the last few years. You know, guys like Mike Harley, you know, just I really think they're going to make an impact early. You know, but you do need running backs and you do need tight end. And as you mentioned, the offensive line, too. I think Miami's pretty pleased with the five that they have now, but an injury would throw an inexperienced guy in there, and you don't want that, especially when you're already starting a very talented true freshman, but a true freshman nonetheless in Devon Donaldson at right guard. So Miami's offense, I'd say overall, some depth concerns aside from quarterback. I think this is going to be a team that's going to be led by its defense, and nothing has changed my thinking this camp in that regard.
Well, great stuff here as always from Matt Porter. You want to follow this man on Twitter at Matty Ports and read his work in the Palm Beach Post and palmbeachpost.com. Matt, thank you so much, man. And I cannot wait. September 2nd is very quickly approaching now. We have the starting quarterback. Let's see if the wins start coming in. Thanks so much, dude.
10 days. Can't wait. See you later, Alex.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.